So one of the things we like to do is keep it nice and intimate. So if you could just kumbaya. All right. My name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater from birth. I'm 55. I'm still a compulsive eater. So, all right. There are a few things that we just want to go over before we get started. So welcome to the, this is a literature and writing workshop, and we're going to reflect and discuss and participate in our recovery, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness in steps 1, 2, and 3. All right? This workshop, it runs for an hour from 2:15 to 3:15. And the first thing I really like to know, are there any newcomers here today, new to this convention, new to CEA Howe? Welcome, and tell us your name, please. Laura, by way of Atlanta, I know that, yes. Well, thank you, Laura, for being here, and for all of you that are here today. Is there anyone celebrating a CEA Howe milestone anniversary, 30 days of back-to-back abstinence, new sponsor, any milestone? All right. Today I am really honored and grateful that I am here with someone I have been talking to for several years. Just got a chance to meet yesterday, and we're doing this today. Before I got here earlier today, I was like, yes, so Judy G and I are the co-pilots, and higher power is, in fact, guiding this situation right here, right now. So we know that God, I call my higher power God, is in the room right here, right now with all of us, and we're here as the co-pilots, and you are our wonderful guests. So although you all don't have to fly the plane today, we do want you all to participate, ask questions, and participate in your recovery, because this is a writing and reflection workshop. And for those of you who've just come in, we have handouts. So if you didn't get a handout, please, thank you. Yes, you get one each, and okay. So let me not digress. So after the speakers, there will be time for questions and shares. And as I said, this is a literature and writing workshop. I think I'd rather go from this right here. So we wanted to also let you know, this is a CEA Howe Statement of Anonymity. There may be some people here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. In Tradition 11 states, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and other public media of communication. Thus, we respectfully ask that CEA House speakers and members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio recordings or in published or broadcast reports or meetings, including those on the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our effort to help other compulsive eaters who may wish to share our recovery program with us. Our tradition of anonymity reminds us that CEA Howe principles come before personalities. A further note about anonymity, out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the events at the Global Convention. Also be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of CEA Howe members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognizable photos of identifiable CEA Howe members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. And so we thank you for your cooperation and observance of our tradition of anonymity. And at this time, if you have one of those smart devices, Samsung, Nokia, iPhone, can you just mute it or turn it off? Thank you. And also, we have a release form. We're hoping that you'll participate by speaking and sharing your writings. So we have a release form. After you speak at the mic right here, just sign this because we are recording this session. Okay? All right. And I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Barbara. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm still a compulsive eater. I came into CEA How after having an 8-year experimentation, research and discovery, after being in our sister program prior to that for a few years. But I had to go back out, do some research, discovery, discovered 100 more pounds that I had released prior to. So January 30th, 2006, I got back into the sister program, and then in May 20th of 2006, I came into CEA How, found a sponsor who walked me through the food inventory step and maintenance, and released and came to a happy weight, goal weight, releasing about 85 pounds. So I was 220 pounds, size 22. And grateful today I've released that physical weight and continuing one day at a time to release the emotional weight that comes every day, one day at a time, 24 hours, as long as I'm still breathing. So that's the other part, is that every day I'm taking steps 1, 2, and 3 around the emotional, spiritual, just life, you know, stuff. So thank you. And I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And now I'd like to pass this on to Miss Judy.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. My name is Judy G. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. And I was in a sister program many years ago in the late 80s, early 90s. I was in it for a couple of years and decided I got this. And I went out in a huge relapse until November 30th of 2013, when I discovered CEHOW. I found a PhoneBridge sponsor. I've been abstinent ever since. I have released 140 pounds through the grace of God in this program. And I'm here today with my friend Barbara and all of you. Just grateful to be here and glad to see all your faces. Thank you for coming.
So, you're next.
All right, let me continue this and gather my myself here. Where's the, right here, okay. All right, this workshop is on the How on Steps 1, 2, and 3 literature, and it's a writing workshop. We will be writing, and anyone who wants to share their writing with us may do so. However, I would like to remind everyone that we believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we are learning one day at a time to abstain from negative thinking. In this light, please keep your shares positive and relative to what we are discussing. In this short time together, we will be focusing on the following steps as they relate to the HOW of the program: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness through steps 1, 2, and 3. Would anyone volunteer to be our spiritual timekeeper for today, for the writing and the sharing? All right, steps 1, 2, and 3, just to remind, as a refresher. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And what we did is, we looked up the definition of each one of these: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, an actual Webster's Dictionary definition, and then went into As Bill Sees It and used it in a sentence. And then we have some questions that you can choose to write on, any or all. You'll have 3 minutes after you pick your question to write, and then 3 minutes to share. So we'll just give it, I'm just going to run through everything just to give it a voice, and then you can pick what you like. All right, H, honesty, adherence to the facts. Only God can fully know what absolute honesty is. Therefore, each of us has to conceive what this great ideal may be to the best of our ability. And that came from As Bill Sees It, page 172. Open-mindedness, receptive to arguments or ideas. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we became open-minded on spiritual matters. In this respect, alcohol was the great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness, As Bill Sees It, page 87. And W, willingness, inclined or favorable, disposed in mind, accepted by choice or without reluctance. The essence of all growth is the willingness to change for the better, and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility this entails. And that is from As Bill Sees It, page 115. The following questions are an opportunity for you to reflect and express how honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are practiced in steps 1, 2, and 3. Please use the next 3 minutes to write on one or all questions below. And if you would like to be of service and share what you have written with the fellowship, please come to the microphone in the middle of the room and share. And the questions that you have a choice from. One, have you admitted complete defeat to compulsive eating? Write about a current experience and or trigger that confirm your willingness to stay abstinent. Two, describe how your compulsive eating affects or affected your relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. Three, describe the action or actions you take that reflect an open mind to a power greater than yourself. Four, if you do not have a higher power, how do you resolve life's challenges? How do you celebrate victories, and who do you credit? And five, describe how your fears and worries are being transformed to faith, serenity, and hope today as you practice steps 1, 2, and 3. So you now have 3 minutes to write, and Vincent will be timing. Thank you. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
Shirley, compulsive overeater. I chose question number one. Have you admitted complete defeat over compulsive eating? Write about a current experience and or a trigger that confirm your willingness to stay abstinent. 1 year ago this month, I experienced a family tragedy that was unexpected and shocking that occurred with my favorite sibling. I had attended my 8:30 a.m. meeting that morning where I always received my spirituality. I made many calls throughout the day and went to a meeting later that evening where I showed up and was allowed to break down for my healing. I didn't drink anything and I didn't eat anything, and I'm still abstinent as a result of using the tools. So thank you.
Thank you. Linda, compulsive eater. I went to question number four. I'm currently redefining my higher power in relationship to meditation and mindfulness. And so this is a good exercise for me to say that instead of a higher power, I have a belief system that everyone is basically good. Society is basically good. I am basically good. And I resolve life's challenges mostly by not defining them as victory or defeat, but as having that relationship between myself and others that is based on a basic goodness or a sense of, I don't even want to say right or wrong. It's just when you, like with my experiences with my higher power, I know when I've reached a point where I'm not in my ego. And then who do you credit? The possibility of waking up, the possibility that on a daily basis I can stay in the present moment, and the more I can do that, the more I am in touch with my basic goodness and the basic goodness of others.
Would you come up and sign the form? Yes. Thank you.
Who would like to share next?
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Melissa, compulsive eater. It was a lot to write, so I didn't I wrote most of it, but I might have to ad-lib some of it. I put, I've admitted complete defeat to compulsive eating. Currently, one of my close family members, I don't want to keep their anonymity, entered residential treatment for eating disorder, and as a support to her, my husband and I have been attending therapy as well as going to weekly group therapy. Like, that's about 4 hours long. This just happened this month, actually, and it was very, very triggering for me to sit into this group for this long, and it was advised that maybe I shouldn't do that because it was messing up my program, but I just kept doing it. I kept going, and I thought, no, I have enough recovery. I have enough, I've been abstinent long enough, and I have a good support that I can handle this to be supportive, but they did an exercise where they had to, do moderate eating, and I started obsessing that maybe I could do that, and maybe that's the right way. Maybe that's the healthy way, because they were saying, no, this is wrong what you're doing, and it really messed me up. And I talked to my sponsor about it. I did a lot of writing. I remember how I did tried to do mindful eating in moderation for 20-something years, and it didn't work for me. So I know that just keep doing what I'm supposed to do and remembering what it was like before, because I don't want to go back there at all. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to be here, because it just renewed my energy and strength that I'm doing the healthy thing for my body. I'm doing what's best for me. And other people, that's their journey. So I have to respect that, and other people's food plans, as long as they're not challenging mine, just be respectful. So I think that's what I've learned this week about surrendering, letting God kind of help me, but also taking care of myself. So it just reaffirmed why I'm doing this. And I think that's the importance of meetings and coming here and connecting and having someone to reach out to. Because I don't want to forget how cunning, baffling this disease is and how many lies it's told me, that I could eat sugar and flour again and be okay, because I never could do that. And I've never been more sane and felt better since I've been abstinent. And so I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Laura. I'm a compulsive eater. I answered the second part of question one. I came to this convention praying to find honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Today, 2 hours after lunch at the convention and listening to 4 speakers, I was feeling hungry. Instead of hoping it would go away, I said it aloud to Barbara, the workshop facilitator. As usually happens, when I take an action, the compulsion does disappear. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Laura, will you please sign the... Yeah, thank you.
I'm Cheryl, compulsive eater. And hi, and I wrote on the same thing. Write about a current experience and or trigger that confirm your willingness to stay abstinent. So basically, I've been in the program 5 years, but really now I know it was a diet, because I always pretty much looked the same as I do now, but nuts in the head. So I'd never heard of the idea. I'm sure people have said emotional sobriety, but I never heard it. Okay, so on May 17th, 2016, 5 hours after my mother was hospitalized with a serious stroke, and my daughter flew in from San Francisco, suddenly was willing to, could come. I mean, open arm, come on, slip, it's like embraced a slip when we went to lunch, because I wanted to share something with a family member. My mother passed away 4 days later, in which I continued to eat with family members, but I could not get back on the wagon. And I'd been able to, give it a few weeks and I could get back on. And I just could not. It was not happening. And on October 10th, 2016, someone suggested that I ask a lady that is now my sponsor, who was had no room for more, go ahead and ask her anyway. And she happened to call me on an outreach call, and I asked her, and she just said, let me think about it, pray about it. And she said, okay, you can give me your food, and it's just gone from there. So since October 10th, 2016, a new clarity began with abstinence. I think I love the clarity more than I even do the weight loss. I've never had clarity of thought or connecting dots like I've never connected dots before. And I'm finding, she told me, you're going to start to crave order. I don't know. I know how to order food. You know, I can do the alphabet in order, you know, that kind of stuff, but not... My life was chaotic. I didn't know, and I knew that, but I didn't know how to fix it. So anyway, that's my mom. My mom helped with that one.
Thank you. Will you sign the consent form?
It's okay.
I chose to write on the first one, and because I have such a wonky brain, I actually have to write out the question, because otherwise it just doesn't stick to my brain. So what came up was, I have and I have not admitted complete defeat. I do take all the actions that have been suggested, but to be abstinent. However, I sometimes feel it feels very empty, like I am just doing it more to manage well. So what sort of comes to mind is I also crave intensity. Mm-hmm. Even my binges were intense. And the example, it says, you know, write about a current experience and or trigger that confirms your willingness to stay abstinent. I'm at this convention this weekend, and it's not intense. I'm learning, you know how they say you need to detoxify from the flour and the sugar? I need to detoxify from the intensity. Even my higher power always has to be this magical kind of thing. And they say in the sister program, just lower your expectations of what I think everything needs to be. This is not Disneyland here. Well, I mean, maybe a few miles from here it is, but... And to be able to talk about that, because I always felt... What's wrong with me? Everyone else is getting so much out of this, and I'm not. And it's just like, relax. It's okay. And I even noticed at some of the other conventions and things that I've gone to, sometimes it's been completely after the event that I'm at home, and I'm like, oh. So things happen even the week after this convention of getting certain connections and thoughts. And I'm such an intense person, and also instant gratification. It has to happen now. Just relax. But I don't even know what that is. So when people say it, I'm like, well, fuck you. You know, it's just like, how about just breathe? And so these are things that's showing me that I am changing, that... spirituality and a connection to a higher power isn't on my, you know, timetable. And it happens, and it always, that's the worst and the best thing. It always happens in ways that I can't control or figure out. Mm-hmm. So why not stop? Why stop trying to do it? So anyway, but that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Will you sign the consent form, please? Is that not intense enough?
Yes.
We'd like to keep this going. Yeah. This is fabulous. I'm loving it. Please. Thank you.
Thanks, Vincent. Hi, I'm Paula. Very definitely a compulsive eater. Hi. And I wrote, describe how your compulsive eating affects or affected your relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. And I just wrote that my compulsive eating kept me closed off from my family. I was totally unavailable to them, and I was so busy beating myself up over my overeating that I was not there for them. And now it's a whole lot better because I'm more present for them, and I'm more giving towards them, and also they give to me, you know, my husband and my son, and I'm more... open to their love, and they even helped me out and they support me, and they're just really glad that I'm in this program, and I am too, because now I feel like I have a family. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to share their writing? We have time if you'd like to do another writing.
I'm Cheryl Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Cheryl.
And I wrote on the first question, too. Have you admitted complete defeat from compulsive eating? And I said, once again, I found myself in total desperation. My self-esteem was at an all-time low. I had begun the isolation because I did not want to be around anyone. My doctor had called and said my numbers were way off the chart as a diabetic. I was afraid because I couldn't stop eating. I was ashamed to come back too. Today is day 190 of a recommitted abstinence. And I think about, you know, the difference of being here this weekend opposed to being somewhere else. I feel like I'm taking care of myself because this is where I should be. Although going to bed last night, I started thinking about things that were happening out, you know, there was a couple other things that were happening and I should have been there, but then I woke up this morning in prayer because I have to hit my knees every morning just to thank God for the gratitude I have for this program because of to stay out of where I, you know, the shoulda, woulda, and all that other stuff that keeps me apart. And then I was thinking about the triggers. Although I have a family that's connected, it's a trigger for me, my own immediate family. And they don't, most of them really don't respect this program because they think food shouldn't be a problem. And anyway, what's wrong with being big boned? That's what I call it elsewhere. So, you know, just everywhere. So I've sat in the meetings and I've just been absorbing everything that I've heard so that, because I know I'm in the right place. You know, I know I'm in the right place. I know that I have a deadly disease. I know that it wants to kill me. And so it's okay just to admit it and admit it out loud. And so I'm just glad to be here. Thank you.
Cheryl, will you please sign the consent form? Yes. Would someone else like to share their writing?
Can you do it twice?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
It's a different question.
Oh, yeah. If you've answered more than one question or if you'd like to
continue. It is a different question.
Yes, okay, great.
So, describe how your compulsive eating affects or affected your relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. And then I stuck pets at the end. Okay? I'm not much of an animal person, but I'm single now, so I needed a heartbeat in the house, so I have a cat. Okay? And I'll fill you in because it'll take too long to write it. I had 35 holes in my walls, had to replumb my house. So the people come in, fill the holes. I can't find my cat for 30 hours. Well, I start to notice maybe 24 hours. Where's the cat? Okay. Till I heard a mew in the wall. So then they come, we make a hole, comes out. See, look at you people, you know. I'm not. I'm going, oh, I hope he's okay. You know. So they come and fix the holes the next day. I think he's hiding. Of course, he's, you know, he's in the house somewhere. No, he's not. 3 days later, where's the cat? You know, he's hiding outside. We're talking, he'd been beat up terribly. He was a rescue cat, you know, and just a wreck. And it happened to click at the exact same time that I'd come to understand that I had abandoned myself and my children when I would resort to food or just hiding. and not dealing and paying attention to my needs and their needs. Instead, I covered it up with food. So once I came home from a meeting, realizing my cat's probably gone and dead, and just started praying, please give me one more chance with my cat. And there was this thought, go look in the backyard. And I saw this dark thing under a bush, and it blinked. It was my cat, and I got him back. And it's been, you know, wonderful to learn that I had abandoned, not wonderful, but I know that that was a major thing. It was my list of defects. You know, I was on step six at the time. And so I'm grateful for my cat and what I learned from that. I would have not connected that. I was never going to abandon my children. You don't do that. Well, yes, you do. As soon as the food's in your mouth, you're not there. You know, so much for reading. I only taught.
Thank you. Anyone want to share a second question that they had a chance to write on? Would you like to continue writing and maybe answer another question that's resonating for you? Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tammy, compulsive eater. I wrote on the question in terms of our relationship with family member. I don't remember. Here it is, number two. I have a 15-year-old son, and we were just talking one day because he's amazing and he's so supportive, and without, you know, crossing that line of being whatever you call it, I don't know what you call it, but we were just talking one day, and I said, Shane, you know, have you noticed a difference in terms of me being in this program and not being in the program? Because I've been so oblivious or consumed or whatever. And he said, Mom, oh my God, you're a different person. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, you're so much more patient and you just don't fly off the handle at me all the time anymore. And of course, I almost started crying. And he goes, no, it wasn't like it was that bad. It was that you would just lose your patience and you wouldn't give me a chance to do what I needed to do. My timing is different than your timing. I mean, he's a very wise person, and he's like, it wasn't a bad thing, it was just incredibly annoying. So it was very insightful, and for me, of course, I didn't even realize the profoundness of my behavior and absentness with the food. So I'm just very thankful as I heal more and start to unravel more of these unconscious patterns. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Will you sign the consent form, please? My name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm going to just share because it's on my heart to just, first of all, thank all of you for your honesty, your open-mindedness to want to come up and share and write, and for your willingness. And I also sometimes reverse the how to the who. And the who, you know, starting out with that willingness to be honest, to be open, but getting to the who, which for me is my higher power. And so this week I took off for this convention, if we're going to be honest, open, and willing to share. And I also have someone I love and care for who has moved to Las Vegas. And I'm going to go home early because the timing is not right for us to be together. And I can just say that if I was not in recovery, I wouldn't be here because I would have canceled the trip because it would have been all about me going into self-pity and I can't do this and I'm embarrassed and, you know, how is it that he doesn't want to spend this time that I've taken to be with him and we haven't seen each other in 4 months? But what I know today is that the who loves me, who cares for me, who protects me, who has gone before me and knows everything that is supposed to happen is who I have placed my trust and hope in during this time. The other thing that happened a few days ago, for 2 weeks, I was in severe back pain. And so this whole thing about taking care of ourselves is real.
because in the past I would be in denial. The bottom line is that, as we say, the gift of desperation is why I'm here. We were all willing to go past the pain. So as I was in the mirror putting on some makeup the other day, my back was like, oh no, we're not going there. You're not moving a little closer so you can put your eyeliner on. I'm in pain. But the inspiration was, I gotta go past this pain so I can look gorgeous today while I'm at the AMA. I need to lift my eyes, so I need some eyeliner on, and I needed to see my eyes so I can put the eyeliner on. So I went past that pain, but what came up was, once again, if you move through the pain will eventually what? Move away. So I'm going through this pain, but I'm going through it sober emotionally. I'm going through it abstinent. I'm being real honest with myself, with my sponsor, with my both my sponsors. I have two programs. I have cried. I'm working through this inventory love letter that, if I don't know if any of you all have it, if you want to email me, is fabulous. My sponsor in this program recommended it for me, and I'm still working to the point where I get to that place where I can love this person and not resent them. But I'll get there, you know, with the help of my higher power. So thank you for being here, and thank you for letting me share. So did anyone write another reflection from any of the other questions that they'd like to share? All right. Okay. Well, if we can wrap it up a little early. This is your handout, and certainly on the other side, we put some other readings. I'm right now writing on the daily reflections, but there's so much really wonderful stuff. You know, the steps are in here. I love As Bill Sees It because it helps me reflect on resentments, acceptance, surrender. So the literature is so important. In fact, I was thinking today, you know, in our forever abstinence, which I have here, guess what's number two on the seven tools? Literature and writing. So once we get that food plan down, you know, it's kind of like the ingredients we were told, like, if sugar comes fifth, then it's least. So then I thought, well, you know, if literature and writing is two, then it must be maybe the second important thing to do as we are on this road. So it's so important that we not let this go, you know, the writing. And we have a wonderful team of people who come up with the questions. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel has already been beautifully crafted for us to be in recovery. So, all right, we're going to end the workshop with the third step prayer. And yes, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And thank you both for preparing such such a good, thorough step 1, 2, and 3, backed up by program readings and questions. And this is something I can write on, you know, at home, you know, for fun and for fellowship. I wrote on question 2, like a lot of other people. I'm not going to read that though. But compulsive eating has really affected my relationships, and I think it's going to take me the rest of my life to to get out of the, not only the brain fog, but just the habits of putting food first and putting my isolation first. That's what I wrote in my writing, putting the food first and my isolation, because that's what I ate about. I did love the food, and I still do, but it was more the effect of what the food gave me, and it gave me a chance to be even further away from other people, family and friends and coworkers, program people even, and God or my higher power. And I liked question 5 about describe how your fears and worries are being transformed to faith, serenity, and hope today as you practice steps 1, 2, and 3. And for me, steps 1, 2, and 3 are all the time. It's every day. And I forget because I go into my own world, but today in the middle of, you know, working at service and, you know, being workshop co-chair, and, you know, people weren't doing what I thought they ought to be doing. What's new about that, you know? You know, they hardly ever do anyway, but I was starting to get, you know, uptight. My breathing wasn't good. I was frowning a lot, and I wanted to, like, not even be here. I mean, that's how I handle things, even now, still. But I did need to let it go, and gradually, from the beginning of the day to now, just through a series of different things, I did let it go. And I do believe step 1, 2, and 3 was part of it. So I'm glad I stuck it out. And sometimes that's what I just need to do, is to stick it out, not like those things that come up, those bad feelings, those icky feelings, and know that I still have a lot more to work out in my relationships. But I'm grateful to steps 1, 2, and 3. Thank you.
Thank you. A burning desire, just because sometimes people have things on their heart they just might want to say before we wrap it up. We do have time, so.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Kay. I'm very, I'm happy to be a compulsive eater because it brought me here. And I've been doing a lot of learning lately. A lot of things have been coming up in my life that I can't control. And I really didn't realize when I came into this program over 8 years ago that I really was kind of a control junkie, you know? I didn't really think so. I thought that other people controlled me, and I allowed them to do that. And but as I really was honest with myself, I was very manipulative, and even though maybe they got the best of me, I wasn't real gracious. So lately I have been, it's kind of like when I came into the program where I was really, really down on my knees because I just couldn't take control of my eating and my mental sobriety. And I'm feeling now also that I'm in this transition phase of, you know, stopping working, becoming retired when I really don't want to. Actually just got married, you know, after 31 years to a man that I dearly love, and and I'm selling my house. So, you know, everything has just kind of come to a head again, and I'm having to go back to 1, 2, and 3 all the time, that I'm just powerless over what's going on, you know, that I have to be open and honest with myself and with other people, what is going on with me, and then I have to be willing to give up all my expectations so that I could allow the changes and the good to come in. And the more that I let go and get zen with the whole thing and then listen and then take the action that I need to, but without the expectation, then everything starts coming and flowing. And just like in this program, when I let go of the food and I let go of my anxiety around being myself with other people and being able to make mistakes and not be a mistake, as my sponsor always told me, then everything just works well. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you. Thank all of you. Anyone else like to share? Okay. All right.
Hi, my name is Judy G, and I'll just take a quick share on question 2. Describe how your compulsive eating affects or affected your relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. Well, number one, with my family, I was obese for a lot of years, and my parents worried about me. And I didn't know this till after I lost the weight. And I lived away from them, so when I would go home to visit and they saw the weight coming off, my mother would say, you know, you were like, when you were heavy, you were like those little Weeble toys, you know, you just kind of wobble and as you were walking. And I thought, oh, that's a fine thing to say, thank you. But it was true, that's how they saw me. I mean, I just was huge. And when I worked, I remember this, I was walking down the aisle between the cubes and the wall, and everybody that was coming my way was stepping out this way to let me come through. And I thought, why are they doing that? I'm not that big. But I was. I mean, I was in denial that much. And with friends, I had my compulsive eating buddies. And we'd go out and compulsively eat and plan our whole night around food and this and that. And that changed. When I started eating differently, they're not as comfortable going out with me because I'm asking for this, I'm demanding that from the waiter, I need this, thus and so, and this can't have a sauce on it. And I make special orders all the time. First time I did it, I felt kind of funny about it. But now my money's good as anybody's else's, so I just order the way I need to eat. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of accommodating restaurants out there. I've had no problem. So anyway, family, friends, coworkers. Yeah, it's, and the other thing is, when I went home after about a year and my family hadn't seen me, my sister said, oh, you still have the weight off. Because all my life, I would drop the weight, put it back on, drop it. It was just a matter of time. And this time, it's staying off. And she was surprised. So I thought, well, okay, I think I got something going here. So, and I didn't have to change my clothes for the season. I have the same size, and that's a new thing for me. So I'm very grateful. I, you know, when I think about those are the things that have changed my life through this program. And I'm in a normal size body and working on a normal size mind. So, thank you all.
So again, thank you all very, very much. And we're going to close with the third step prayer. Do we have an opportunity? I don't know. I like circles and hand holding. So if you'd like to see if we can come together, it's a small group. And we're going to end with the third step prayer. Someone like to volunteer to lead us off?
God, I offer myself to thee. To build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Coming back, it works if you work it and you're worth it.